This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 51.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. We spend a lot of time talking about how to grow our business through online activities. So through email marketing or through social media or getting articles published on the likes of the Huffington Post or Forbes or Business Insider. But we talk a lot less about how to grow your business through offline activities and in particular through running events and workshops. And it occurred to me recently that this is something that I've done always in my business for as long as I can remember. I've always run workshops from very small little workshops to big conference style events. And they've always been great for me in terms of building my network and actually getting in hard cash. So I talk a little bit in this episode about how when I speak at an event, it often leads to several leads to quite good paid work. So I thought it'd be really great to bring somebody on the show who is really experienced at organizing events, big and small, but in particular, somebody who's like a whiz at marketing. And so I've got Chris Marr on the show. Now, he's the creator of the Content Marketing Academy event in June. Now, you'll hear in this interview that I was so impressed by Chris. I've been thinking about going to this event, but I did actually book up as soon as I got off the call. So if you're going to be there, then I would love to see you there. So do drop me a tweet or an email to let me know and perhaps we can meet up and have a coffee or something. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to mention something that I'm up to now. Can you believe it? But I'm also running an event. So this seems like a good time to be talking about this stuff. So I've got my first Soulful PR live event running in London on July the 7th. Now, basically, the concept of the event is I want to get a bunch of really high profile journalists in a room with people who want to understand how to get in the media and how to pitch and how to get their ideas picked up. So I've got journalists from Radio 4, from ITV's Good Morning Britain, from The Guardian, from The Huffington Post, from Stylist Magazine. I've also got somebody from a press agency who'll be explaining how to, you know, when you might want to send a press release out through a press agency and when you might want to have kind of more tailored approach. So events like this really don't come along very often. I think I'm the only person in the UK, to my knowledge, who runs events like this where we basically get a bunch of journalists, you know, quite a few of them at one time in a room with people who want to understand how they work so that they can be more successful at pitching them and getting media coverage. The unique thing about my events, and I've been running these kind of events, but not specifically for small business owners for quite a few years now, is that I just try and create as many opportunities as possible for people who come along to talk to the speakers and just kind of talk to them in quite a relaxed, informal way. So we generally have the room set up with circular tables, and this time around, I'm going to seat the speakers at the table so that you'll have somebody sat on your table that you can talk to, and I'll switch people around a bit. We have a speed networking session over the lunchtime, so every speaker will sit on every table, so every delegate will get to talk to them. And this time around, I'm doing something a little bit special and different. So I actually got the idea from an event that I attended recently. So I was at Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank in March. If you're listening to this in the future, that was March 2016. And one of the speakers there, Lou Mongiello, we were chatting about my event. And I was chatting about the challenge of getting people to move quickly on buying their tickets. Like, people are always really interested in these events, but what I need initially is that commitment because I have to hire a venue, I have to book the speakers and, you know, I have to pay them. And often the venue will be sort of, you know, hassling me to pay a deposit or hassling me in some cases to pay the whole balance. And, you know, you have to kind of negotiate that. So I'm looking for people's early commitment. And I was talking about the challenge of doing that. And so Lou Mongiello, who is one of the fantastic speakers, he's got like the third biggest podcast. I think he's going to be on the show soon, which is all about Disney. And he has made a whole business out of talking about Disney, which I find absolutely fascinating. But he said to me, you know, what do people say to you at the end of these events? And I said, well, they say it was a great event, but I had loads of time with the speakers, but I would love even more time with the speakers. So he suggested that I created a mastermind session immediately after the event for people who want to basically kind of do a Dragon's Den style thing. So they get, you know, 15, 20 minutes of airspace to just kind of talk about their business and get feedback from journalists and, you know, warts and all, get journalists to say to them, look, your PR strategy, you know, that's not a good strategy. If you want to get this business in the press or you want to get this brand in the press, you need to be thinking more like this. So I don't think there's many opportunities out there where you could kind of sit for that sort of length of time. And obviously you're then hearing from the other business owners because there's only 8 spaces. Then, you know, just sit and talk about your business or your brand and get that kind of feedback from 8 national journalists. I just don't think there's anything out there like it. So, of course, I put the tickets on sale. And as you'll hear in this interview, I put the tickets, I don't know why I did this, but I put the tickets on sale just as I was getting on this call with Chris. So, oh my God, we had quite a few nightmares with this episode. We had some technical issues and also I'd not turned my phone down enough. And so I'm hoping that Igor, my editor, will be able to kind of sort that out. But it was just such great content in this interview. But while it was going on, I was a little bit tense because my phone was ringing and my phone was pinging. And it was because people wanted to book on this mastermind session and they were worried the spaces would run out. So that's my very long-winded introduction to Soulful PR Live. So I just thought, I've just released this big event. It's the first time I've done it for this particular sector. I know that Chris has been running this particular event for quite a few years. And I just thought this could be gold, you know, if we get on a call together and talk about not only, you know, why you should be doing live events and how they can help build your business and brand, but what kind of events to do, the sort of logistics, in particular the marketing. We have a really good chat about the kind of marketing of events and some of the kind of psychology around that. So if it's something that you do already or something that you're kind of interested in doing, because it can be, you know, a great income stream, but also it can be a great way just to promote your business and brand, then I think you're going to get so much value. And I would really recommend you get a pen and paper for this one, or, you know, just notes on your phone, because Chris gives so much value that you could easily miss something. I mean, and also just the way that he explains content marketing is just fabulous. He has a way of making it all sound so easy. So yeah, the minute I got off this call, I went and booked at his event. So that tells you an awful lot. So I guess it's time to get on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Chris Marr. Now, Chris Marr describes himself as a teacher and student of content marketing and an early adopter of all things shiny and social media. He's the founder of the Content Marketing Academy and also the host of the Content Marketing Academy event in Edinburgh in early June. And if you're listening to this in the future, that's June 2016. So I'm going to hand straight over to Chris and get him to tell us a little bit about who he is and what he does. So welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me today.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about you and what you do?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks very much for giving me a legitimate platform to talk about myself. It's always fun. Yeah, so I guess you've kind of covered a little bit of it there. You know, I'm the founder, director of a company called the Content Marketing Academy. We're essentially, you know, just to make it easy for people to understand, we help people to improve the way that they communicate forever. We want to change the way that organizations communicate through teaching the principles of content marketing and what that's all about. So to just basically bring people forward into the 21st century a little bit, into 2016, and get them to just really think about why they're doing what they're doing, how they're going to market with their message and what the purpose is of all of that. So we're trying to get away from the tactical elements of marketing a lot of the time and actually teach the principles of communication. So that kind of like really pulls it back to, why are we sending this email? Why are we writing this blog article? What is this podcast supposed to achieve, right? All of that stuff. So we try and talk to people, not just about the platforms, the blogs, the podcasts, the videos, but actually help them to understand how that message, what the purpose is of that message, right? Is it to sell? Is it to help? Is it to add value? Is it to build trust? And really that's what it is all about. It's about to build a relationship and build trust. So we try to teach these principles or this philosophy of content marketing. We do that in many different ways. Just to keep a long story short, but we run a lot of workshops, a lot of it's education. We have an agency part of our business, our consultancy. We have our annual event, our conference, and we also run other events as well. And we have a membership organization as part of that. It's our foundation. So we have people joining our membership from all over the world who want to learn and understand and be part of a community of people that all think the same way. So that's kind of what we do. My name's Chris Marr. I live in Scotland on the east coast of Fife. It's a beautiful place, somewhere I wouldn't change for the world. If you're familiar with Scotland, you'll be familiar with the home of golf, which is St Andrews. So we're very close to there. So very coastal, beautiful area. I grew up here. I went to school here. I went to college and uni here. And I've built my business here as well. I live at home with my wife, Andrea. I have a 16-week-old child, Spencer, who was born on Christmas Day last year. And yeah, life's good and it's busy.
Well, thanks for that. And thanks for filling us in about Scotland as well. So I have listeners from all over the world who I think will have loved your filling us in about where you live and your family and all that kind of thing. So one thing I wanted to pick up on was sort of content marketing, because I know lots of my listeners will be very familiar with that phrase, but I know there will be some who will know what it means, or they will think they know what it means, but maybe not 100% sure. I generally describe it to people as kind of, you know, creating really valuable content for people that will, you know, when I'm explaining to people, you know, I create valuable content through my blog, through my podcast, that people genuinely find valuable, so that when they do have a need and maybe they want to come and do some training or they want some consultancy or whatever, then they will think of me. That's probably my kind of slightly dumbed down way of explaining it. How do you explain it to the people that you work with?
I think that's part of it. Definitely creating helpful and valuable content that provides value to people so that they build a relationship up with them. You build trust with them so you can actually talk to them without selling your product. You can communicate without selling. I think that's a core aspect of content marketing, is your ability to communicate with people without selling your services. So you're building a relationship, you're building trust. And then when they do want something more from you, they know who to go to, right? So you, through creating valuable content, instead of simply being a choice in the marketplace, you become the choice in the marketplace, right? So you differentiate yourself entirely from everyone else by providing value. There's a lot of other aspects to this, the things that you have to do in order to do this. It takes time. You need patience. You've got to put a lot of effort into this. It's got to be consistent. You've got to commit to the process. There's all of that stuff. So communicate without selling is one part of it, which is kind of what you've mentioned there. I think understanding that content marketing is the exact opposite of marketing and advertising that we're used to, right? So we're used to being interrupted. Interruption marketing is a big part of our life. We get interrupted all the time. But content marketing is the exact opposite of this, right? So you need to think to yourself, when someone discovers your website for the first time or sees something from you, a piece of communication, a LinkedIn article, a Facebook post, a blog article, your website, whatever it might be, when they see you for the first time, you've got to think to yourself, why would they not buy from me, right? What is stopping someone from buying from me? How can I build trust quickly? And that's what content marketing does at the very best. I feel that is the most effective way to market your business today, because it builds trust. And that's what every single piece of communication that we should be sending out every day, everything we do, is a layer upon layer of building trust with people. And that's what content marketing is really all about. Now, the trick is that it is all about thinking about why someone wouldn't buy from me. Why would someone not buy from me? What is it that's stopping them from buying from me? Don't they trust me? We've been ripped off by people that we've trusted for years, bankers, politicians, for example. And then you've got all the businesses, all the experiences, bad experiences we've had with services and products. And because of the abundance of choice that we have today as consumers, we can choose to buy from anyone we want to. And we choose to buy from people that we believe in, that we trust. So we have to take that into consideration when we're business owners, is to put our consumer hat on. It's like, how do we buy stuff today? And just have a think about that. Content marketing is about building trust. But there's another whole aspect to this as well. Just to kind of, I think I'll just bring this to a close, but it's, you've got to be found online when someone doesn't even know that you exist. Okay. And this is the big part, I think, that people miss in content marketing, is some people are pretty good at providing helpful and valuable content that builds trust, that adds value, that makes your audience feel great and want to trust you. But how can you get someone to discover your content when they've never heard of you before? When they don't even know that there's a product or a solution that exists for them, right? So you need to be found. And the great thing about content marketing is the exact opposite of non-interruption marketing, which is that people are actually looking for your marketing. You need to provide it for them so that they can find it, right? That's what content marketing is all about at a very sort of high level in the sales cycle. So it's about being found.
Wow. So many valuable things there. So communicate without selling, which I love, which is totally all about how I do everything that I do or I try. And actually, we can talk about this in a second, but there does come a point when you do have to go into selling mode, and that can be a kind of uncomfortable, I think if you're a content marketer, that can be kind of an uncomfortable place. So we could talk about that in a sec, actually. But also people finding you when they don't know you exist. I mean, these just, you know, so kind of interesting. And why wouldn't people buy from me? There's just like three really kind of like great, yeah, kind of sound bites that came from there, really. One of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show is to talk about live events and how you can kind of use that as part of your marketing, because I think often most of us spend so much time online, don't we, and consuming content online. And we do build that kind of know, like, and trust factor with people that we follow online. I don't know about you, but I've got certain favorites. I've got favorite podcasters. I've got favorite bloggers. I've got favorites. And I've heard people say a lot that you should try and become somebody's favorite. Is that good advice?
Yep. That's good advice. Become someone's favorite. Is that good advice? Yeah. So you need to become through, again, this is like the principles of what we're trying to achieve here, I guess, is that you are trying to become the go-to resource for a specific thing, a specific aspect of business or something like that. Yeah. So yeah, you're right. You do want to become someone's favorite, or at least be on that favorites list. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got a favorites list of podcasters, a favorite list of bloggers. It kind of changes all the time. And the thing about live events, I guess, that allows you to kind of extend that know, like, and trust factor and to build those relationships even deeper, I guess, because if people like reading your blog or they like following you on social media and then they get the chance to come and meet you and consume your content that you create in person, I guess that's a really great opportunity to kind of deepen that relationship.
Yeah. So if we strip it back, right, to what we've kind of, just to provide the context based on what we've just talked about, which is content marketing or the principles, you can apply the principles of content marketing to everything that you do, right? Content marketing isn't a blog article or podcast. It's actually the philosophy and your approach to how you communicate, and it impacts how you communicate daily, internally in your business, externally in your business, how you communicate with your clients online and offline. So content marketing, the principles can be applied to an event as well. Exactly the same thing. You know, when you've got this opportunity, this absolutely key opportunity to have your best clients in a room with you for a period of time, it's like a massive opportunity to really extend that relationship to a different level entirely than what you're used to. So you're right. People do judge you online before they judge you offline. I think that's key. You need to be able to, like, so content marketing and use the principles of content marketing to accelerate the know, like, trust process, which it does do. So using things like short form video on Twitter, for example, I mean, if you look at my Twitter profile at ChrisMar101 and you go to my homepage, you will see that I reply to everyone with video. So if I was at an event yesterday, for example, speaking, I had maybe 20 or 25 tweets off the back of that. Every single person got a video reply from me, which is like another way for me to have a touch point with them, another exposure where I'm not selling, but I'm building all the time. So done correctly, you can accelerate the know, like, trust process, right? Content marketing allows you to do that. There has to be a business purpose in all of this, though. Otherwise, we're just having a lot of fun and, you know, not making any money. But at the end of the day, if you've got a link to have someone buy something from you or download a course or an ebook or something like that, then it makes a lot of sense to do this. But the whole idea, obviously, for us is that if we take one of our products, which are one of our services, which is our conference, is that we do want people to buy tickets for our conference. There's no doubt about that. And getting them in a room is like, it just changes people. Like last year, for example, at our conference, we had 110 people there. And we're all experiencing the same thing at the same time. The energy in the room was at a level where you can't even describe. Our keynote speaker raves about our event like it was the best event he's ever talked at, or the best event that he ever spoke at last year, sorry. And that, you can't create that in an online atmosphere. There's just something else, like having all those people at the same time. So a live event is a fantastic opportunity to extend your relationship with people and get in a room with people. And like you said, take it to that sort of next level.
And I love the fact you reply to people on Twitter via video. And just to say, Chris actually did this to me when I reached out to him. So I know this, you know, for sure, because he did it to me when I reached out to him.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, when I get off this call, I'm just about to make a series of little video messages to send, because I said to you just before we started talking that I've just launched an event today, which is why this interview is quite timely. And this is my Soulful PR live event where I get a load of journalists in a room who come, you know, they're from the BBC, from ITV, from The Guardian, from the Huffington Post, and they come and talk about what they're looking for. And I get a load of people in the room with them, and, you know, they get that kind of, you know, direct access. But I still have to work quite hard on the marketing. I've run quite a few of these kind of events. And what I'm going to do when I get off this call today, actually. Maybe you can give me some advice on how I can do it better, is I'm going to send out some little video messages to people that I really think would benefit. I've got a particular session, which is at the end of the day, where it's a 2-hour kind of mastermind session. I've only got 8 places, and I've got some people in mind that I think would really benefit from that session. So I want to send them a little video to kind of personally invite them to that. So first off, is that a good idea? and secondly, what would be the best way to do that in a kind of video format?
Yeah, are you going to do it on video on Twitter, or are you going to do it like a record a video, upload it and send it to them?
I'm going to send it to them on email. I'm going to send them a personal email. Yeah,
that's a great idea. It's a fantastic idea. Personalized video, as long as it's personalized and it's not generic, then that would work really well, I think. And making it very personal, like, this is the reason why I think you'll benefit from this. I'd like to invite you to look at the web page or look at this, whatever, look at the information and see if it's for you and let me know. Something like that. Something really short, snappy, but very highly personable.
Well, just to say, if you're listening in and you get one of these videos, as I'm sure some of you will be, then you'll say, I remember her talking to Chris about that. And I was actually going to use something like iJot, which is a little kind of app that you can use to send videos. But I think it looks a bit outdated now. I don't know what your thoughts are. You can send little quick video messages on there, but I was looking at it before and I thought it looked a little bit outdated. What do you think?
Yeah, I've never looked at it before. I'm not sure how I would actually send a video to someone by email. I would literally try and use the applications that are available to me. So I would either, if I can get into 30 seconds, I would send them a video on Twitter, because you can get 30 second videos. Or you could maybe do it on, I'm trying to think what platform you could maybe use. I'm saying Snapchat.
Yeah.
But your clients might not be there. So somewhere where they are. But yeah, I think Twitter video might work really, really well. But it isn't very personal because...
No, it's like everyone else can see it, can't they? Yeah.
It's not private. So
I was just going to snap myself on my iPhone, just chatting for a bit and then send them a little email.
You could do that way. Yeah, you could absolutely set up your iPhone and landscapes, record a really quick video and send that to them by email. You could just use an unlisted YouTube video. That might work well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Do that.
Okay, it's like a little segue there, but
it's important that we talk about it because, like, for example, one of my strategies, or this is where it gets tactical with content, right? So we talked about sales, and I think we should definitely, I put it on my notes here because I think we should definitely cover this, the sales aspect of it. Every single person that buys a ticket for our conference, I send them a personal Twitter video to say, thanks very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Who do you want to, or who are you looking forward to meeting? Or who are you looking forward to learning from? A question, start a conversation. Every single piece of content should be about starting a conversation, right? That's the purpose of it. So that's just like an example of one of the strategies that I'm using just now to follow up and to make it more personal. Make people feel like you care. Like, imagine everyone's wearing a t-shirt that says, make me feel special. You know, and I think that's what we're trying to do with our content. How do you differentiate? And it's a tiny little bit of effort applied in an area that can differentiate you and make you seemingly remarkable. But it's remarkably easy.
But it's such good advice. And I know I've done in the past, I've sent Twitter messages, exactly what you say, but I haven't done it by video. So I'm going to steal that idea now, if that's okay. And also little touches, the personal thing I think works so well. I was recently, we're chatting before we got on the call, I was at Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank in the Philippines. Now, this is a big investment to go to this event. It's not cheap. It's in a resort in the Philippines I had a few sleepless nights thinking about whether to invest in it because, it is a lot of money, but it was worth every penny. But there were just little things like, so Chris's wife is his, works in his business with him, and his assistant Sean, so Urs and Sean. When we got to the resort, they knew us all by name. They knew our picture, they knew our names. We'd never met them in person before, but they'd, there were 50 of us and it was busy and there was loads going on, but they greeted us by name and gave us a hug. And just little things like my workbook had my name on it. And there were just so many little touches that I felt like I sent an email to Chris Ducker afterwards to say, I felt as welcome as if you'd welcomed me into your house. That's how welcome you made me feel. And I guess that's what you want to try and be aiming for if you're running an event. You almost want people to feel like, they've come into your community or your family and, that real warmness.
Yes, absolutely. Totally agree with everything you've just said there. Whether it be offline or online communities, people need to feel like they're part of it. And it's your job as the curator, as the person who's running the event or whatever. It's all those little things that help people to feel comfortable and feel like they're in a place where they're welcomed. And it's all about trust and emotion. It's all in there, right? It's all these little things. Why should someone trust you? Why, you've got to think about what all the little things are that allow you to build that relationship up. But you're right, all those little things matter so much. And it doesn't take much, just a little bit of thought and a little bit of effort and applied in the right place can make a huge difference.
And I guess things like using Facebook groups as well. I mean, I know I've done this before when I've had an event, so I invite people to a Facebook group and then you can chat to them. And Chris did something really good at Tropical Think Tank, actually. He started a Facebook group and then he asked us to all share an embarrassing story of something that had happened to us or something that people wouldn't necessarily know about us. And on the first day when we got into the conference room, what did he do? Of course, he'd screenshot them, put them up on the screen. And mine was the first, and I'd revealed that I was related to a couple of serial killers that had been hanged for murder, and quite innocently had put this in a Facebook chat, and then there it was up on the big screen. So obviously, I made myself very popular. No one wanted to accidentally pick up my water bottle at the at the event. And if anyone wants to know that story, then that's probably for another time. But it is a true story. But as I said, the Facebook groups can work really well. But I just wanted go on. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, so anything that you can do that allows your clients, your customers, your audience to get a little step closer to you is a good idea, right? Because the best companies in the world know their customers better than anyone else, get closer to their customers better than anyone else, and can emotionally connect with their customers better than anyone else. So anything that allows you to take a step forward in that space is a great idea, right? It's just about you being able to make it worthwhile for them, because there has to be something in it for them, right? So you just got to sell it to them somehow. But anything that allows you to bring them closer, that's what you're doing all the time. You're bringing them closer, closer and closer all the time.
That's just such a good sound bite, bringing them closer. I love it. And I wanted to rewind back because I've got all excited because I love marketing and I love thinking of tactics and talking about tactics. Mm. But I'm aware that people might be listening and they might be thinking, okay, well, these two are talking about their big conference events that they've run and their workshops, because I've done big and small, and I've done it actually for many years. What about me? I've got a small business. Maybe I've got a blog, or maybe I've got a PDF, or maybe I've even got a book. How would I go about taking, I mean, my clients often say this to me. They say, well, how do I go about my first steps? You know, my first workshop or my first live event, and they're actually quite scared about it. What would be your advice to somebody who you think, do you know what, a live event could be really good for you, but kind of taking your first steps with live events?
So I guess it really depends on where you are in business. I guess the danger, I'm trying to think about what problems might occur and how to avoid them. That might be the best way to approach this. So you might think to yourself that you want to do workshops and you do it too early and you don't have an audience, a big enough audience that want to come to an event. And therefore, the mistake you make there, the problem you're going to have is you're going to go out there and with this great workshop and nobody's ready to buy it from you because they don't know who you are, they don't trust you enough, and they haven't experienced you enough. So if you're early in your business career, perhaps doing a live event isn't the best option. The second thing you can do is you can team up with someone who has got an audience and is trusted. So you could piggyback on there. So they could maybe run an event and you could speak at it, right? Or you could do a segment at it. And that might build your audience that way. You can do it for free. So I've done tons and tons of workshops over the years. In fact, for about 15 years, I've been in front of people doing lots of different training and workshops and stuff like that. But one of the things we did when we first started our business was that we knew that nobody knew who we were. So the first thing I needed to do was get in front of more people. So any excuse that I could get and to get in front of people, I made it. So I did really low cost, highly accessible workshops. And I did them in the evenings, right, to build my audience, to get in front of people and show people what I could do. I didn't make any money out of it, but it built the audience. I did meetups, free. There were meetups. Basically, I said, let's get together and talk about this stuff, you know, business, marketing. And I did it all for free. And people were coming for, like, this is nuts because people say nobody's going to come for free. But we had 20 people turning up to our meetups and it was for free. If they feel like they're going to get value from it and they're going to meet great people. So you've got to, I guess my biggest thing in my head right now when you're asking this question is you've got to make sure you've got a starving audience for what it is that you have, and that audience is big enough, because if it isn't, then you won't get the traction you're looking for. You know, and if it's very early on in your career as a business person, is that maybe people aren't quite ready to buy from you yet. So offer something that's not a big ticket item, something that you can, I don't know, you could either sell as part of a package with someone else, or find another way to get in front of more people and build that trust with them. Or you create a low-cost version of the thing that you want to do, or an online version of the thing you want to do. Do webinars, something like that that shows people what you can do. You've got to build it up. I mean, this is obviously with the assumption that you are good at what you do. You can run a workshop and facilitate it well. What we're really talking about here is marketing and actually getting a room full of people. Getting people to do something, you know, that's what marketing is all about, is getting someone to do something that they wouldn't have otherwise done hadn't they read your content, hadn't they been influenced by you in some way or motivated by you in some way. It takes time though. Like, there might be like 25, 30, 40 exposures. I know people that, for example, didn't come to a conference last year. They just weren't ready to buy, but they're coming this year, right? It's taken them a year to figure out if this is for them or not, right? So the part of that's our responsibility as marketers and business people to make sure that we're getting the right message out there. But I guess a long story short on this is that you need to make sure that you've got a star of an audience for what it is that you've got. And the one way to do that is to ask them, right? So if you've got an email list or you've built up a community on Facebook or whatever, you can say to them, look, I'm thinking about running a workshop sometime. I'm going to have 12 spaces. It's probably going to cost this much. If I was to put this on, is it something that you would get value from? And get people to kind of vote for this and then get oversubscribed. So if you say something like, we've got 10 spaces, email that out to 100 people and 20 people email you back and say, yes, there you go. You've got double the amount of people that you actually need to fill your workshop. So small, like business isn't built, there's no overnight success. It's piece by piece, little by little. It's a workshop for 6 and a workshop for 10. You know, you do an event for 50 and then you do a high ticket event, you know, and so on and so forth. You build and you build and you build. That's how it works. Our first conference was 26 people. The next year we had 110. This year we're going to have 200. So it builds to our first meet. I remember having a meetup that there was 4 people at and I was for free. I wasn't making any money from it. So, and I'm not saying that's the right or the best strategy, but I think the key point is that you've got to have a bunch of people that want what you've got. And you need to make sure that whatever you do is something that they do actually want and they will get value from.
What's your experience of pricing then? So I find that I generally, when I do free events, I find that people, you know, they're flaky and they won't turn up. But even if I charge like a nominal amount, it might be like £10 or £15 or something like that. And that's usually enough to get people out on a rainy night. What's been your experience around pricing?
My experience has been a little bit different than that. For me, it's got to be more than price. I think price is a factor. Don't get me wrong. It definitely is a factor. However, I just feel like there's another reason. For example, we've ran workshops in the past where people have been there for free, or we've had £10 or £15 events. We've had small, big events and, you know, higher priced events as well. And there's always, I think the biggest thing for me is understanding why people are coming. The price is one element of it. People expect to pay, I guess, to get value from something. But once they've spent the money, then there's got to be like this other form of motivation that gets them to actually come to the event. Why should they leave their home in the evening or during the day or take time out of the office to spend at your event? And I think that there has to be something else. There has to be something that they just can't afford to miss. Something else that makes them feel like they have to be there. And it's up to you to kind of figure out what that is.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And one of the curious things for me that I find absolutely fascinating is, so I run these events in London, these soulful PR sessions once a month, where I get a journalist to come along and talk about what they're looking for. And it really is a marketing thing. I literally just cover my overheads and I pay the speaker, you know, a nominal amount and give everybody a cup of tea and a biscuit kind of thing. It's really informal. But those events, which are £15 or £10 for people in my community, I get more queries about refunds, about exchanges, about, you know, on those low ticket price events than the big ticket, you know, like you were talking about. And I've run events where the ticket price is £300-£400 and people will just not turn up. And I think you said that you've experienced the same. Yeah. And I find that thing so curious. And interestingly enough, I'm really bad, but I forgot to turn my phone down before we got on the call. And I don't know if anybody heard a ping then. That was actually somebody who wants to take one of the places on on my event that I've just launched and is panicking because there's a special ticket and there's only 8 of them. And she's saying, I can't get the voucher code to work and whatever. And so interestingly, sometimes I think the higher price can be people, if you're offering enough value, then people will really go for that and they won't quibble. And sometimes, I don't know, I guess it's my sort of long-winded way of saying that I guess the whole pricing thing is about experimentation and, you know, can just be really difficult to work out.
Yeah. The thing with events and pricing for me is that people typically, yeah, they're paying for something that doesn't exist yet. You know, they're paying for it in advance. It's an intangible thing. And even when they go to your event and leave, they're not leaving with anything. There's not like a thing where they go back to the office and they plonk it on their desk and they say, oh, that cost me £400. Look at it. Nothing like that at all. So there's like a live event or is an experience for people, right? They have to feel like they've emotionally been moved in some way and that they never, ever want to miss that experience again. And it's, how do you articulate that in your marketing and your messaging? You know, that's the hardest part, I think, about events. It's like, are people taking risk when they're buying? They're buying it in advance. They don't know what's going to happen. They're basically, anyone that's spent money with me, with our company, for example, is purely based on trust. They have invested money in us and they trust us that we're going to deliver, right? That's quite a big responsibility to take on. So I think you've got to consider all of these things with live events. It's a great way to get in front of your customers. It's a great market, like you talked about how you use your events to market. you know, how do you get in front of more people, get your brand there, show that you can add value and all that kind of stuff. And that stuff really, really works. But it's a really, like, if you can do it really well, it makes a massive difference. But you can also do it badly, and it could actually have a negative impact on what you're doing as well.
Yeah. Well, can we move on a little bit to tactics? And we got into tactics a little bit before, didn't we? Because I pulled you off on a tangent. But so let's say that you're planning an event. I mean, maybe we just talk as a kind of workshoppy type thing to start off with. What would be your kind? Do you have a kind of game plan that you follow when you're marketing an event, or do you have a kind of? Can you sort of walk us through your process from idea to kind of actually putting the event on? Obviously, you know, briefly summarizing.
Yeah, so I can share a couple of things with you if you want, because we've done it a couple of different ways. One is we try a lot of things, right? So we've had some failures. So I can start with that. We attempted to run an event in Manchester, and we had some people in our membership from England. And we thought, this is a good sign. We'll do a workshop in Manchester and see how it goes. But we didn't manage to get the numbers up, right? We never had enough people to do it. Our network wasn't big enough. The stuff I talked about earlier, we never had a big enough audience in that geographical area that were willing to buy. So now what we've got to do is we've got to think, well, how can we build our audience in there? So I'm going to go back to the basics of what everything we've just talked about. I'm going to try and connect with people. I'm going to try and get introductions to people. I'm going to look at my social activity and see who I'm connected with. I'm going to do a lot of building in that area so that when we do run a workshop, we've got our starving audience, right? So we've got to build that audience in that area. So that was one example of, like, maybe the cart before the horse, right? I can give you another example of, you know, another example at the other end of the spectrum, whereas you can sell an event out in 24 hours if you've got the right people. So we are running a small high ticket event in Edinburgh this year with a guy called Marcus Sheridan. And I sold that event out in less than a day. Right. And because I've got the audience there, they want this and they just want to learn from in this space. So that worked really, really well. So I guess if I was to do any one of these models, is that you've got to understand your customers and make sure you have that audience before you even go to market with it. Right. So the Marcus Sheridan event's a good example of this, where I went to the marketplace and said, hey, we're thinking about running this event. This is what we need. This is how many spaces there are going to be. This is how much it's going to cost. This is where it's going to be. Reply to this email. When you reply to this email, you're committing to these things because we need to make sure this event's going to work. And then we got the emails that we needed, and then we made the event happen. So we were oversubscribed for that event, effectively, which is a good place to be, right? That's the ideal position to be in, where you've got more people interested in what you've got to offer than you have places.
And I think you touched on something that I've tried a little bit recently, which is a minimum viable product type approach to it. So instead of, like, you know, building out a big event site, instead of, you know, kind of booking all these speakers and hiring events or whatever, that you actually maybe just put out something really simple and say, look, I'm doing this on this date, and you actually essentially get people's money out of them. Because I found, you mentioned earlier, you said you can just ask your audience what they're interested in and ask them if they'd be interested in if you're running a workshop on a particular topic. Now, I found in the past that I've asked that question. So I've put on what they wanted, a bit like your experience in Manchester. And then when I've put it out, they haven't bought. So my approach recently has been to kind of put a basic sales page together to give them the information and then maybe just send it out to my most engaged customers and just say, look, are you interested? And put a deadline on it, you know, and just say, look, I need to know by this time, or you can get a special ticket price if you book by this time. And that gives me the opportunity to bow out if I turn up. Is that something that you would kind of recommend to try?
I think yes. And in that, it's worth doing different things to try different things. Getting people to vote with their wallet is definitely by far the best way to do it, because you know that they're definitely, definitely interested. I guess it really depends on how well you know your audience though. So for example, like the people, there's another tactic embedded in all of this that we've both implied is there, which is understanding who your top clients are and who your top connections are. So if you're sitting on a list of people, you need to segment that list down into your A+ list connections, like the people that have bought most from you, that refer you the most, that tell people about you and what you do. Those are your top connections. So if you're ever going to poll an audience, you would poll that audience first. And it depends how much you trust them. Like, I trusted my audience entirely when I emailed them and said, look, when you reply to me, you're committing to this, because if by you saying yes, we're going to go ahead and make this event happen, because it's an international speaker, right? So I trusted them enough to do that. It depends on where you are with this. They probably wouldn't have, like, we never even created a booking page or a sales page for that event. I didn't need to. I'd sold it out before I even had needed to. So the point is that the key thing is the audience. It keeps coming back to this every single time, is understanding your audience. But one of the biggest things we've done is we have got a CRM that we work every day, and we know where people are, how engaged they are with us, who our top clients are, who our top connections are, who the sneezers are, who are the people that tell people the most about us and sell more of our product to other people.
What did you call it? The sneezers, did you say?
Sneezers, yeah. The people that kind of like, they're viral, basically. So I think that's a Seth Godin term, I believe.
I love it.
But basically, it's about, the tactics are really simple. Like, you get right to the root of this, and it's about people, right? And understanding those people is key. So first of all, is like, who are my top clients? Who are my top connections? Who are the people that are by far the most engaged with me and our content and what we do, right? Let's get a list of them. It could be 10, it could be 15. In my experience, your ambassadors, or whatever you want to call them, are a very, very small percentage of your total audience. It could be 1 or 2%, like really small, like 15, 20 people, something like that. Those are the key people that you need to engage with the most. And those are the key people that want to be involved in the decision-making about all the things that you want to do. So listening to them, like actively listening to them. I think when you're asking them questions, it's not just asking them, look, I'm doing this event, do you want to come? It's like, actually, I've been listening to you a lot and I'm thinking about these three things. Which one would you think would be the best? Or emailing them and saying something like, or communicating with them in some way and saying, what is your biggest challenge right now with content marketing? And then polling them that way and then figuring out what their actual challenges are and creating an event around that instead. So I think getting closer, we talked about it already, but getting closer to your audience is key if you want to deploy the tactics in the correct way. I think short form video is a fantastic way. So using blabs to communicate interactively with your customer. We had a blab this morning at 9:30 where my membership are there. We talk for half an hour every single week. And that's about me getting to know them and them getting to know me and building that trust.
And Blab's like a video live script. So people who don't know, it's like video sort of live stream. I'm just trying to think how best to explain it. Kind of like live stream, like broadcast. That's it, isn't it? Sort of Periscope, but you can have several people on it, can't you, at the same time? And you know, I've used it a little bit, but
you can have three guests on there at once. So I think that there's a big change in how people are communicating now. It needs to be convenient, needs to be easy. And short form video, we've got Snapchat, which is, we've sold conference tickets through Snapchat, right? Just by sharing the story, connecting with people. Like the thing is about all of this stuff, Janet, is like the principles of all of this stuff, principles of communication have never changed. I mean, anyone that's read How to Win Friends and Influence People know exactly what I'm talking about here. Like you go to Snapchat, you don't go to Snapchat to sell. You don't go to Twitter to sell. You don't go to Facebook to sell. You go there to listen, to be interested in other people, to engage, to add value, to listen. That's the way you do it. That's the way you should do it. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do it that way. They use it as a broadcasting tool. But actually, the way to do it is to go there and be interested in other people by far more than being interested.
And I guess I kind of asked you sort of, you know, what actually one thing I wanted to ask you, pick up there, you talked about CRM, so using a customer relationship management, that's what it stands for, isn't it? Is there any software that you use to kind of almost put your clients into buckets, as it were?
It's exactly what it's called, actually, in the CRM. It's called buckets.
Is it Contactually? Is that what you use?
I use Contactually, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you can do a free trial, can't you, for $1 for a couple of weeks where, I don't know if you want to explain how it works quickly, but it could be quite a useful tool, couldn't
you
it?
You can use Contactually for free for a month, I believe, or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but the thing that Contactually's got that other, there's loads of CRMs out there. They all do mainly the same thing, just allow you to manage your sales pipeline, but Contactually has got like this extra layer on top of it, which is buckets. So you can bucket your contacts. So you can have like your A+ clients, you can have your A+ connections. And what you can do with buckets is you can set it so that it reminds you to contact people at a certain interval. So say 40 days or 30 days or 15 days. If I haven't contacted Janet in 15 days, please let me know so I can contact her and keep in touch, that sort of thing. So yeah, Contactually works really well. It's got the sales pipeline feature as well, so you can manage your whole process from someone who's expressed interest in one of your products right through to closing that deal or losing that deal, and you can manage that whole process. So like I said, we were in there every single day thinking, how can we move people forward piece by piece? And I tell you the one thing that's really changing the game entirely for us, and it's just to share as much as I can here as far as tactics are concerned, is building in as many exposures as you can with someone as quickly as you possibly can, right? That's the key, I think. And that's what I'm finding is that people are buying tickets for our event because they've had some sort of involvement with me or there's been a touch point. So I guess an example of that, Janet, is really simple, is that if I attended an event yesterday, I was speaking, I spent half an hour at the venue before I got in my car to do all my Twitter videos before I left, right? So they saw me speak, they see me on Twitter, I'm going to add them on LinkedIn, and then I'll do a post on LinkedIn just so they see a piece of content from me. I try to do something on LinkedIn every day. And they're just doing like multiple exposures all the time. Add them to a list on Twitter. things like that.
And that's that whole thing, that sales theory, isn't it? About people need, what was it, 8 touch points or something like that before they buy. So they just need, if you keep popping up in places, then people are going to. And the contact actually is interesting because I've interviewed Matthew Kimberley, who's a sales expert and speaker. And I think I'm probably going to run that episode after this one, thinking about my schedule. But we talk about contactually there as well. And I've been playing around with it in terms of, you know, because he sort of advises that, you know, you might have clients you did business with a year ago. And, you know, I'm now thinking because I've got an event coming up, there's people that I want to reach out to who I maybe haven't spoken to for a while. And actually, it feels a little bit awkward. It's a bit like, you know, when you call a friend and you haven't been in touch with them for a while, and you're suddenly like, hi, we haven't spoken for a while, but I'm trying to sell you something. And and actually, the contactually can help you with that, because, you know, the idea is that you might set up something so that you're, you know, you put all your hot contacts, or, you know, your biggest paying clients, for want of a nicer way of putting it, in this particular bucket. And then maybe you set something so you just keep in touch every month. Maybe you just send them a piece of content that you've seen that, you know, you think they might find interesting, or you ask, you know, how their wife is after her operation or whatever it might be, so that when you do want to make that call, then it doesn't feel awkward. It doesn't feel like, oh yeah, they're only calling me, you know, because they want something. So that's kind of why I like the idea of it. But obviously, yeah, it takes time, doesn't it?
It's definitely multiple exposures over a period of time, right? Whatever that period of time might be. You just need to realize, like, for example, we post on every platform, Facebook, LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Snapchat, we're on everything, right? But I know that someone might see me on LinkedIn, and then they might see me on Snapchat, and then they might see me somewhere else, and they'll see me in all these places all the time. And they're popping up just with a consistent message. Like, there's consistency there. They never see a sales message. They're always like, God, this guy's adding more and more value all the time. And then eventually, like, we talked about sales a little bit, and I think it's important to bring it in, because people think that content marketing isn't about selling, but it's massively about sales. It's just that you're getting people to buy into something themselves. You want them to make their own decision about who they want to buy from. And the idea is that when you make that, you're right, when you make that phone call or someone phones you for the first time, they actually want what you've got. And it's just a case of having a discussion about, maybe, I don't know, it could be anything, timing, it could be anything to do, but you want them to know as much as they possibly can about the thing that you're trying to sell, or the thing that you offer, in an educated way. You know, they need to educate themselves. We want to be educated buyers. We want to do it in our own time. And we hate being sold to. We hate it. The last thing we will ever do is speak to a salesperson when we're trying to think about what product we want to buy. We'll do our own research. So we need to allow them to do their own research as well. And that's where content marketing really plays its part.
Yeah. And I mean, I just feel that there's so many ways that people are doing things wrong in the kind of sales at the moment. I've got a bit of a gripe at the moment that I keep getting emails from people who, they go onto my website and they find something wrong with it, or they find a link that doesn't work or something. Or, you know, and I'm very, very well aware of the things on my website that need sorting. And, you know, my husband's my web designer, and I have to nag him to change things, because obviously, you know, he's got other jobs to do. But people will send me emails and say, you know, I've noticed this is wrong with your website or your brand or whatever. And I'll go, okay, thanks for letting me know. And then the next email comes and it says, yeah, and, you know, have you thought about doing this on your website? And I'm like, yeah, I can see where this is heading. And actually, it's a bit like, you know, walking into a clothes shop and, you know, the assistant coming up and sort of picking fluff off your jumper and saying, oh, that doesn't really suit you. You know, we've got something much better for you here. Or, you know, that makes you look a bit lumpy or something. And I see a lot of kind of quite clumsy stuff going on out there. And I think people are so sensitive to selling, aren't they? Like, it gets my back up when I get those kind of emails. And has that been your experience too?
Yeah, I think people have been ripped off by everybody. They've had bad experiences. They know when they're being sold to. I think our BS detectors are like at an all-time high. So, and it's like that stuff there is just the stuff that you delete out your inbox. You don't. Why would I buy from someone that's just emailed me to tell me that, to make me feel bad about my website? Why would I buy from you now? You know, you made me feel guilty. You made me feel bad. I don't know who you are. I've never heard of you before. I don't like you. I don't know you. I don't trust you. And I'm not going to buy from you.
Yeah, exactly. And I just wanted to kind of move things on, because I know we've taken up a lot of time, but just to kind of move on to the benefits of running events. I mean, I personally have experienced this, like, literally when I speak at an event or when I run an event of my own, I can pretty much guarantee that several people will come up the end and they will want to follow up with me, because they'll want to work with me, or they're interested in finding out how they could work with me. And you can pretty much put a price on it. You know, you usually say, well, at that event, I made whatever it was. So for me, it's like a cause and effect. I can see it, but I've been doing it a while. So, you know, I can kind of see that. But I guess when you're just starting out, it can maybe see that, you know, what are the benefits when you're just starting out?
I think reputation is a massive part of it, and exposure. So marketing, generally speaking, is probably one of the biggest benefits of running a live event. So being able to talk about something else, like it's great to have something else to talk about, you know, other than the other products and services that you offer. We're doing an event and it's great and it's exciting and it gets people excited. They get excited about it as well. So it gives you something else to go to market with that's maybe slightly different than the other things that you offer, which is a good thing. Something else to talk about. Getting in front of people, we've already talked about at length. I think that just speaks for itself.
And I guess it's not just the people that are in front of you that day, because I mean, I do usually see sales out of it, but sometimes it's like somebody will email me and say, I heard, somebody told me they heard you speaking somewhere. And it isn't just, you know, about the people who were in front of you on that day. Would you say that was true too?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. By creating an event, you're creating communications out there. So lots of people are going to see this. A lot of people will be sitting on the fence thinking, I tell you what, it's their first event, or I don't really know them that well. What I'm going to do is I'm going to probably book into the next one. We'll see how this one goes first. And they are listening and people are watching what you're doing. So you're right, there is another audience there that you've got to be aware of, a silent audience in every single community they exist.
And I guess there's a prestige involved as well, isn't there? Because if you're posting on Twitter, I know, you know, I've been posting on Twitter that I'm speaking at New Media Europe, and then people have kind of reached out and said, oh, I didn't realise that, you know, I'm going, or, oh, I looked at that and thought it was quite interesting. Well, maybe I might come now, or you know, and I guess it just, there's a sort of prestige to it as well, that if you're seen to be, you know, speaking at events, then people, you know, assume you kind of know what you're talking about. It's a bit like being in the press. It's like, you know, if the BBC want to talk to you, or the Guardian wants you to commission you to write something, then it's that kind of stamp of approval, I guess. I guess there's that part of it too.
A little bit. I think there's a danger that, and I see this in some events actually, that it becomes quite an egotistical thing. Like, I'm doing it because I want to be seen to be the best or whatever, instead of thinking about actually the event, who the event's actually for. I don't think, if you run, like for example, we're running the conference this year, and I don't have to do anything really to look good, right? As long as the event runs well and everyone gets a huge amount of value from it, all that good stuff is going to rub off on me anyway. I don't even have to speak at the event. I just have to be there. I have to be the one, because I'm the one leading it and facilitating it anyway. Why would I need to make it even more about me? And I think that is something that I think you is to be careful of, is just how you know, how, like, it'll rub off on you anyway. You don't need to make it about you. So I think there's definitely that. And I just think there's so many great benefits from curating and facilitating live events, and just the value, being able to answer questions and understand your audience better, and just the influence you have on people. If you're really good at what you do, I think that's kind of like it goes without saying, is that you're actually really good at what you do as well, and that you can facilitate these things well, that people will talk about it afterwards, they will tell other people, and you've just got to be patient. I know that, you know, if you're just starting out and you're doing your first events and it feels scary and it feels like you're taking a lot of risk, is just be lean. You talked about the minimum viable product, build, measure, learn all the time, and just reiterate that whole thing and go out there and start to, like, just by doing what you do without too much, like, you don't have to think about it too much. Just by doing what you do well, you will inspire people. And you just need to be comfortable with that.
It's fantastic. And I'm just going to ask you one more thing before we draw to a close. So as an expert in running events, so I've already picked up a few tips from you, but I'm running this event on July the 7th in London, which is my Soulful PR Live event. So I've got journalists from the BBC, ITV, I've got someone from The Guardian, I've got someone from the Huffington Post, someone from a press agency, who else? I've got someone from Stylist magazine. So I've got a great lineup of speakers, which I think obviously is, you know, I know from experience that's attractive, but you still have to work really hard to get people to come to your events. I mentioned I'm going to send some personal emails to people, inviting people I think would really benefit, particularly from this mastermind session. What other tips would you have for me? Or any creative tips for marketing at my event that I can steal off you, if that's okay.
For selling more tickets?
Yeah. And actually, in my case, it's not selling the tickets. I usually sell out, but it's getting them moving quickly, I think, because as you'll know, I think as an event organizer, you want to see those numbers moving quickly, don't you? What any kind of hacks that you found, or things that have worked for you?
To be honest, it's a challenge for us to get people to move quickly as well. I find that really hard. I think the thing that works for us the most is making sure that we've got a hardcore engaged audience. So again, it comes back to our ambassadors. So making sure that we make it really easy for them to talk to people. So we've got a comms package that goes out to them to give them like pre-written tweets and graphics and things like that to share and talk about. We also ask them to actively make introductions to me personally. So if you know someone that you think will benefit from being this event, pick maybe two or three people that you know that will benefit and introduce them to me, and I'll have a chat with them and we'll see if it's for them. So I get really personal with it as well. I think that you need to be not just consistent, but constant in your messaging as well. So making sure that content's going out there that's shareable. So think to yourself, why would someone share this tweet or this Facebook status about this event? And making sure that it's shareable. So it doesn't talk about you. It talks about how someone else would talk about your event and allows them to share it. That's key as well. But just basically engaging with your ambassadors is key. They're the ones that can sell your event for you without selling it, because everyone knows you're the salesperson. So if you get other people to do that for you, then that works. So things like competitions, a hotel, a night in a hotel or a spa day or a box of wine, or, you know, whoever sells the most tickets or something like that, or, you know, stuff like that. What we've found actually is that affiliate schemes are not the most fruitful, because most of the people don't actually want anything. They actually want to sell, they want to help you anyway. So what you can do is make it a bit more fun and a bit more exciting for people, and make it maybe just help a little bit of healthy competition. Generally, what we find is people do want to help. You just have to help them to help you. So give them some guidelines on what it is you're looking for and how they can do that and delivered in a good way. So we found that by engaging our partner, like we've got sponsors as well, which is another good tip. It actually is to get maybe a dozen or so people that want to sponsor the event. Or partner with you is a good idea, because they actually, it's in their best interest to sell this event out. You've got to engage with the speakers. What we've done is fortnightly blabs. So we've scheduled them every fortnight, and we invite the speakers to come on and spend time chatting about themselves and introducing themselves. We've got people taking over my Snapchat account that are speakers to kind of introduce themselves to my audience. God, we're doing so many things. The thing is, I guess at a very sort of core level, it's really about consistency and constancy, just turning up every day, whether you feel like it or not, and getting your message out there and doing it in a way that kind of embraces the principles that we talked about at the start.
Fantastic. And just to finish off with, would you tell us a little bit about your event? I am probably going to book when I get off this call and I just need to check my childcare. But can you tell us a little bit more about the event?
I'd love to. And thanks very much for asking. The Content Marketing Academy is a marketing conference for business owners. We attract marketers because of the type of speakers that we have. But it's mainly for business owners. And I don't know if there's a subtle but distinct distinction, I think, between a marketing conference for marketers and a marketing conference for business owners. This is about, I'm a business owner, how do I become a marketer of my business, right? The best entrepreneurs in the world, the best business owners in the world, the most successful are great marketers. They just are. But it's not something you're born with. You have to learn these skills. So I have personally handpicked the speakers. So we have Mark Schaefer, Anne Handley, Amy Schmitter, Pete Matthew, our four keynote speakers. And we've got 10 other speakers speaking that day as well. And every single one of them has built their business upon content, upon the principles of content. They are practitioners. They're in the trenches every day. So what we want is, when a business owner's sitting as our guest in the delegation, whatever you want to call it, as our guest, they're sitting there and they're listening to the speakers. They can relate to their story. They understand that they are doing the things that we're doing, except they've just done it for a lot longer than we have. And they've been far more successful than we have so far. So it's about understanding that these people that are speaking about this marketing stuff, this content marketing, are actually doing it, and they've done it, and they've built their business upon it as well, which is really important to me when we're looking at our speakers. We don't want people coming up there that are, you know, that have never actually had success from it. So important. So that's the kind of concept behind it. But the other element of it is that, I mean, a lot of people go to conferences, I guess, and this is really not just about getting motivation and inspiration. I actually want people walking away with, like, I know exactly what I'm going to do now. I know how to change the way that we communicate, and I know exactly what tactics I'm going to be using as well. So it's a mix between the sort of keynote presentations and the workshop element as well. So it's trying to get a bit of both. But what I've found, to be honest, is that you can learn how to do anything. It's the mindset and the motivation and that's missing most of the time. So I want people to get that as well. So they're absolutely going to get a ton of value from the 2 days. It's going to be a fantastic event. And we've got a lineup, Janet, that's you very rarely see at conferences, even in the States. There's a handful of conferences in the States that will have these three speakers or these types of speakers at them. So.
Yeah. Well, I had Amy Schmitter on my show. I'm trying to struggle to remember the number now, but she was absolutely fantastic. She provided so much great value. And I know that when I go to these events, I don't often, it's not just about the speakers, but it's also about the other delegates. And I think you've got Colin Gray as well, haven't you, who I met. Is Colin Gray speaking this time around, or was that last time?
He's speaking, yep.
Yeah, so he's really great, really knowledgeable on podcasting and stuff. So yeah, well, thank you so much. I am going to check my childcare and I think I'm going to book and come. So if anybody's listening, then, you know, I'd love to meet up with you there, because providing I can sort my childcare out, I'll be there too. And I just wanted to report actually that while we've been doing this interview, I've sold I've sold 4 tickets while we've been doing this interview. So there's a little bit of live feedback. And I've sold out half, of my, you know, the 8 special tickets that I talked about. I've sold half of them while we've been on this call. So how about that?
Well done. Congratulations. It's a good week for you then. That's a good day. That's all right. You've spent an hour talking to me and you've made some money as well at the same time.
Fantastic. Yeah. So Chris, where can we find you online? Where's the best place to find you?
Sure. The best place to find me on any platform at ChrisMar101. So you get me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all these places at ChrisMar101, and our website is thecontentmarketingacademy.co.uk.
Lovely. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for having me today. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR podcast with Janik Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not join my Facebook community? It's the Soulful PR Facebook community, and you can find it by just searching on Facebook. So that's the Soulful PR Facebook community. I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR podcast with Janik Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janikmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.